hard to remember a world before Harry Potter. The children's book series is a juggernaut that spawned a film series, a theme park, a Broadway play, a museum exhibit.
You enter the portal to Hogwarts. We have Albus Dumbledore.
At the New York Historical Society, Roberta Olsen is a curator of a new exhibit called A History of Magic, which traces the roots of author J.K. Rowling's novels.
So we have all kinds of basilisks here, unbelievable objects, the Sphinx you could touch.
The exhibit also marks 20 years since Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone was published in the United States. Weekend Edition books editor Barry Hardiman has this look at the impact Harry Potter has had on what children read.
Potterheads of all ages are milling about the exhibit, looking at phasars, mandrakes, crystal balls. In addition to the magic, there's the more mundane spellwork, Rowling's detailed plot diagrams and original drawings on napkins, a glowing review from an 8-year-old who was an early reader of the series. The reviews of the books haven't changed much in 20 years.
I just like it because it's like, it makes our world feel kind of boring, and it's like so creative, like all the candy and Hogwarts and everything, so I really like it.
Adelie Tiao considers herself a super fan.
I read all of them 11 times.
She's 10. 12-year-old Caitlin Crummell has also read the series multiple times.
They just are magical, and it's cool to think about all the different things like that aren't really happening, but you can imagine yourself there and having the experiences that the characters are.
I ask every single person to tell me what else they've read that they enjoyed as much. And sure, the people that are from my generation say Narnia and A Wrinkle in Time, and a lot of young people mention the Percy Jackson series, but every person tells me that the Potter books are unique. There's nothing else like them. They read and reread, pore over details, and never really get over them.
It was the fact that he was me, even though I was not an orphan, and I'm not English.
Arthur Levine is the editor who's responsible for bringing Harry Potter to the United States. We're in his office at Arthur A. Levine Books, an imprint of the publishing giant Scholastic, and he's telling the story of how he fell in love with the book.
What I could relate to so strongly was this idea that maybe there's something inside of you that nobody else can see.
He knew that it was the kind of story that speaks very particularly to children, that makes everybody feel seen.
The idea of hidden identities and the goodness and rightness of who you are is not necessarily mirrored in society. I mean, this is a theme running through Harry Potter. It would have been a huge thing in my life as a little gay kid growing up. And there isn't much that is explicitly gay in Harry Potter.
Levine knew at the time he was taking a risk on an unknown author in a genre that wasn't selling that well.
There was no market for hardcover children's fiction. Fantasy was not a hot, sexy thing.
It paid off. At this moment, 500 million Harry Potter books have now been sold. But it was barrier breaking in other ways, too. It was a book that both adults and kids could talk about at dinner. Levine says he got letters from kids with dyslexia, kids who had trouble reading, who realized for the first time that they could read and love a 700-page book.
Everybody wanted that next book. It wasn't just like the two nerdy readers and, you know, the class. It was the whole class.
It appealed to a huge variety of readers, but it didn't reflect every reader. The three main characters in the books are white, and the experience of the British boarding school, magic or not, is a fairly narrow one. Levine acknowledges this, but says that what the series did do was create a whole new generation of readers of all backgrounds who would go on to become writers and editors themselves.
All of my editors now were people who had grown up loving Harry Potter, and that love sparked this idea, I want to make books.
I connected to the friendship. I love that there was this thread of very young people having the power to make a difference, and that was my in.
Kate Feldman is one of those editors. She's 26. She grew up reading the Harry Potter books, and now she works with Levine, shaping the next generation of children's books to reflect a wider variety of identities.
You know, I definitely, as a girl and as a Chinese girl growing up, didn't always see that direct experience of mine reflected in books, and that's definitely something I want to see open up in the world.
But the industry as a whole still has a long way to go.
The story is that things really haven't changed in the last 20 years.
Librarian Kathleen Horning is the director of the Cooperative Children's Book Center at the University of Wisconsin. She says fewer than 10% of books feature characters of color or are written by non-white authors. And there's not a lot of variety in those books, she says. They're often historical narratives about slavery or civil rights.
What we don't see a lot of with diversity are books like Harry Potter that are just pure fantasy. And in fact, those are the kind of books that African American children, for example, really are clamoring for.
But Horning is hopeful. And just over the last couple of years, there have been some breakout titles, like last year's Dread Nation by Justina Ireland, the Akata Witch series by Nnedi Okorafor, and Children of Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi.
I've read, like, other books about magic that are kind of similar, but in a different way.
Back at the History of Magic exhibit, Caitlin Crummell, at age 12, is still heavily invested in her love of Harry Potter. But she's also branching out.
Like Children of Blood and Bone, that's a new good book. And it's about magic in the same way and younger people. Yeah.
Barry Hardiman, NPR News.